the laws of Maso Matan, Hilchos Maso Matan, without Rabbi Shulchan Aruch, we're up to in chapter 156, and we're up to subsection 2. And over here, he continues to discuss that when you're doing work or you're doing business, so your intent should be only so that you have the needs that you need physically. Your intention of wanting to work is not to become wealthy, not to become arrogant, not to become put down people because you're wealthy, but the purpose should be your body needs its to function, and the purpose of it is so that you can serve your Creator, because the verse states, he quotes in the verse Kemoshe Kosuv, because the pasuk says b'chol drachecha de'eyu v'goymer in Mishlei Simon Gimel pasuk vav Peri Gimel pasuk vav. It says over there, in all your ways you should know Hashem. What does it mean, all your ways you know Hashem? Sometimes you think when you're studying you're knowing Hashem, when you're praying you're knowing Hashem, but when you're out there in doing work, then you're just like an American. You're not serving Hashem. You're doing regular work. He says, no, in Mishlei it says, "Bechol drachecha de'ehu." In all your ways, you should know Hashem. Which means that even while you're working, you should have intent of the work should be for the purpose so that you find your need so that you can serve Hashem. So that means even your work is becoming a vehicle and a preparation for being able to serve Hashem. There was actually a slogan which went against this in some communities, and they would say, Yehudi b'veisecha v'adam b'tzeisecha. That means you're a Jew at home, but you're a man on the outside, so that you don't want to be different than people on the outside. When you're in the business world, you don't want to be different. But here he says, no, you have to be, the purpose of working and everything else is also for the sake Shem Shemaim. He references Ovid Rav Nosson, Perik Yud Zayin, Ubeches Prokim LaRambam, Perik Hey. So he gives you other references. Further, he says like this, V'chayiv kol odom lilmoid libnoi melacha. Every person is obligated to teach his son a job, or to occupy himself in business. You have to, the parents have to teach their children a trade. They have to teach them or business, something. In order, if a father doesn't do so, it's as if he would be teaching him a robbery. Because how is he going to survive? For his livelihood, in the end, he will come to rob people because he's going to need his sustenance. So therefore, he has to teach him how to earn a living so that he can earn an honest living. One needs to be careful that your business dealing should be done with faith, with trustworthiness, which means don't change your word. If you gave somebody your word, even though it's not a contract, even though there's no witnesses and they can't legally, demand for you, but you don't change your word. Shenemar, because the pasuk quotes now, and literally, this is a pasuk in Kedoshim Perek Yutes Lamed Vav, is talking about various different weights that you things the Torah tells you to have the correct weights over there. You're not allowed to cheat on the weights. Oh, yeah. But the Torah uses the Lashon Hin Tzedek. Hin is a measure. That's a measure that they used to use. So they say Hin Tzedek Yiloch. The Hin is a, like I said, is a measure. So that measure should be a measure of justice. But the word hin can also mean yes, which means your yes. So we translate it, she'hein shaloch tzedek, that your yes should be righteous, which means when you say yes or you say you agree to something, you have to carry through. Hein shaloch tzedek v'laf shaloch tzedek. And if you say no, that should be righteous too. Kloimer, that is to say, kishato medaber hein oilav. When you say yes or no, kayim dvorecha, fulfill your words, behatzdek oisom, and make them, justify them. In other words, justify your words, keep to your word, basically. He references here, v'ayim barambam perik hezim ha'ayim milchaz deyes, halach yud gimel perik zayim milchaz b'chidah halach ha'ches, pirish ha'mishnai yisev shviz, v'shalom esech t'chulin, shaloi dach yudal domad alef, gam ni mas mad b'munam. He further says that v'chol ha'machlif es diburei, anyone who changes his words is ki'ilu ha'evit ki'chav mazolis. It's as if you'd be worshipping idols, the stars and the constellations, by changing your word. That's how severe it is. And we learned it up from the verse over there, because next to the verse over there, it says also, talks about not worshipping idols. So we know that this is a very serious offense. Now, that's talking about with dealing with people, but he says further, "Vafilu machshava shenigbura b'liboy." Even if you had a thought in your heart, you made up in your mind, you didn't even express it, but it's something that you had in your mind, toiv lekaimoy koil mish yesh biyod yiras shamayim shamayim, anyone who has in himself a fear of heaven, it's best to fulfill it. If you made something up in your mind, you should fulfill it. Shenemar, because the verse in Tehillim Simet Hezvav in chapter 15 over there, it says the doiver emes bilvavoy, that you speak truth in your heart, which means even what's in your heart, if you've agreed, let's say in your heart you agreed to a price, let's say to sell it to him for $20, right? You made up your mind, and then the guy says to you, how about $25 for it? You're supposed to tell him, no, I'll take 20, because you already made up to give him a 20, even though now you can take advantage and you can take $25 because he's giving it to you. But if you made up your mind that that's what you're going to sell him, you should keep your, because that means even what's in your heart, you should keep. This only applies in matters that are between you and your friend. So like, you should fulfill what's in your heart. Now again, I'm thinking it's a positive. If you just wanted to charge 30 and then he gives you 25 and you agree to it, you can do that. But we're talking about whatever you decided, so you shouldn't up it later on. Aval divrei atzmoi matzrochov, this only applies, but if you make your own decision, like you had made a decision in your heart that you're going to buy yourself a Ferrari, and then he said, you know what, maybe no, you don't have to buy the Ferrari just because you had it in your heart. Because that's between yourself, by yourself, things are, you know, you could make some decisions that it's okay to change. You don't have to speak truth as far as if it only affects you. This applies to if it affects other people. Unless if there is no even a lenient of a mitzvah, it's not even close to a mitzvah, then you don't have to fulfill him. Ain't tzarich lekaimam, then you don't have to fulfill it. Now, he says, "Vafilu mipnei hasholim lo yaftirach sheker lechaveru." One is not allowed to promise to another person something which is false, even if it's for a purpose of bringing peace. So let's say you want to keep the peace, so you make him a promise. So you tell him that, you know, you promise, I'm not going to tell somebody something, right? And the reason why you're promising to him is because, you know, you want it to keep the peace, because otherwise he's going to be angry. He says, no, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to problem falsely. But we know, even though Amru Mutl Lishaz B'nei HaSholim, Ela B'sibur Dvorim Shukvar Ovru. V'loi V'dov Shal Habo. So he says, there is a statement that our sages tell us, that one is permitted to change because to bring about peace. It's written actually about Aaron. He would bring peace between husband and wife and between man and man. Like we read in the morning, we learned from the Mishnah in Peah, it says the greatest thing is to bring peace between one person and his friend and between a husband and a wife. That's a very big mitzvah. Unfortunately, today people are not careful. People spread Lashon Hara, they make fights, they bring discontent, they try to do the opposite. But the greatest mitzvah is to bring peace. How does some of the ways of doing peace? So you go over to the person, he says, you know what, he told me that he wouldn't have said what he said to you. It was just, he wasn't feeling well and he had a hard day at work. He goes to the wife, he says, you know, your husband came home after a whole hard day of work, he blew up and he was said some nasty things, but he said, he's really apologizing, he really feels terrible, it's not really him, that's not the way to talk, he was just overwhelmed and he had, okay. Now, the husband never told it to him, he made up the story, he never told this. And then he goes back to the husband, he says, you know what, you know, your wife said, she threw you out of the house, but she overreacted a little bit. It was she had a hard day with the kids, and she was under a tremendous amount of stress with all the difficulty. And you know, you haven't been bringing in a good living lately. It's been bringing very stressful on the family. So, you know, now she didn't tell him to say anything, but he goes and makes up this story. So that, but then, okay, so then they resolve to make up. So they make up. So you brought peace. So you can do that. I just gave an example. It may not be the right example. It just popped into my head, so I gave you these examples. But the that's something which is in the past. You're allowed to change something that happened in the past and say, oh, this has happened, this didn't happen, the person spoke to me or not. But that doesn't allow you to promise something to another person for the future, not the labo. Although, that's what he rules over here, although in the parentheses over here, he is still questioning this because, why? Because he says, because peace is the most important thing of all the mitzvahs, is peace. And he quotes from the Medrash Rabbah Shukas on the verse in which it says in Tehillim, Bakish Sholem V'Rotfeyu, seek peace, and go after, run after peace. Always, that's such a strong mitzvah. And in the Gemara, we permit to change one's words because of Shalom. And the Rav Yitzchak Alfasi, he writes that it's not only a right, it's not only a prayer, but it's actually a mitzvah. So how do we know this distinction, which is quoted based on the Magen Avraham, the Alter Rebbe's quote, that you can change only for the past, not for the future? Maybe we should be matir for all, matir means to permit it even for the future. And he quotes various different mepharshim, we have to, it's beyond the scope of this class here, to look into this thing. But that's the quote, so that's where he rules. But he says maybe still, you know, something which is needs to be looked at further. Another thing he says, v'yizor, a person needs to be careful, melahaskir shem shomayim levatola, not to mention God's name in vain. Are you doing business? You know, say, oh, I promise, I swear by God, or something like that. You say, so you may. He says, no, you can't mention God's name in vain. Shabachol mokim shaskoras Hashem. Mitsuya misas, niya mitsuyas. Anytime we find God's name being mentioned in vain, there is death found, there is poverty, there is other things. So there's problems over there. So don't just mention God's name in vain. And there is an obvious difference, he says, because when you say shalom to somebody, shalom is God's name. He says to greet somebody with shalom is not considered to be, that's a different when you promise or swear in God's name, or you just say to a person shalom, which is God's name. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Shalom v'bracha, but then you just explained it. No, I was thinking in court, you know, you always see on TV, they ask you to put your hand on the Bible and swear, you know, by God.
So we would do, we say we affirm. That would be, but that wouldn't also be considered necessarily a vein. You know, you're a lot of. Sometimes you have to swear in Beis Din, and that would be a serious thing. But over there, the bigger problem is because their Bible and their faith doesn't necessarily coincide with our religion. So you're basically swearing to their Yishki over there, or to whatever they believe is their God.
What is Shalom? I didn't
know Yishki.
Shalom.
Yeah, that's God's name. Yeah, sure.
When was that?
All the time, because Vayikra it's Shalom is one of God's names.
Really?
Yeah, that's why we call
say Sim Shalom. Shalom.
Also the Shalom like in a bathhouse, there's a question you can't mention because it has to do with God's name.
How do they say it in Israel?
They
say hello, goodbye, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. So we're allowed to say it in the way of greeting because the Chum allowed us. Now, he says like this, a person should be careful not to swear, even if it's true. I swear to you, you know, that this is what it cost me, or I paid, or, you know, don't swear. Because it says, King Yanai had 1,000 cities, and they were all destroyed. Why? Because they would continuously swearings, even though they would fulfill them. They swore and they fulfilled them. It wasn't that they didn't fulfill them. But still, just the whole idea of swearing is not something that one should commonly do. Subsection 3. Gimel. Mitzvahs asei min ha-Torah. It is a positive Torah, biblical command. Leilech b'darkei Hashem. To walk in the ways of God. How could one walk in the ways of God? But first, this is supported in a verse in Deuteronomy, in the section of Savoy, chapter 28, verse 9. It says, "Shenemar v'alachto bidrachav." You shall go in his path, in the ways of God. You shall go in His ways. V'kach lomdu b'pirush mitzvah. So our sages have learned the meaning. What does this verse mean? What does it mean, go in the ways of Hashem? Follow Hashem's ways. God is compassionate. Mahu nikro chanun. Just as He, God, is considered passionate. Avata yechanun. You too be passionate. Ba'isu matnas chinam. And do gifts for free. In other words, just give. Don't expect. Just do people a favor.
Chinam is
chinam.
Oh, chinam.
It's free. Mahu nikro rachom. Sinas chinam is also vain for no reason. Give a gift for no reason. Just like Hashem is called a merciful one. Avato hayirachom. You too should be a merciful. You should too have mercy. Mahu nikro erech apayim. Just like God is called. Prolongs his anger. Avato yerechapayim. You too should prolong your anger. V'chein shar kol amidus yesh ba'odom. The same is true with all the characteristics, the traits, the midos that a person has. Tzorich lidames atzme behem libeira. You must compare yourself to your Creator. Behave. Try to behave in your own behavior. Compare yourself to God. V'limes bera shebahem. The bad characteristic, you should be repugnant, you should be disgusted with the bad. Belivchar betoivin, you should choose the good. Good midos, choose the good midos and throw away the bad midos. V'keitzet yargil odom atzim midos toivis. Atche yikvaloi. Boy. How could a person train himself to have good midos, good traits, so that they become set by him? How does one acquire that? He says, Yase v'yishane v'yishalish b'maisim sho'ise api hamidos ha'ilu. He should do once, he should duplicate, and then a third time, those actions that come out based on those midos, on those good midos. So say like a person who has a bad midah, we're going along and he yells, yeah? Or he yells at people, right? Okay? He should train himself, do once, talk nicely. A second time, talk nicely. A third time, talk nicely. Which is based on the good midah of being tolerant, being accepting, accepting everybody where they are. You do it once, and you should keep on doing it again and again and again. You should keep on doing that which comes from good character until doing it will be very easy in your eyes. Because you've done it so many times that it'll become easy. It's not going to be hard for you. That's the way to change it around. So then you become a nice person. Maybe if you're not such a nice person, you become a nice person. And this would be, then these midos will be set in the soul. And he gives an example. Doesn't need my example. He gives you another example. Keep going. As for example, im hoyo kili, if he was a very stingy person, a person who doesn't, cannot separate himself from his money, he just holds on very tight. He was a kili. So he says, yifazir v'yitin momen har bilanim. You should give, spread, and give lots of money to the poor people. V'yigmol chesed gam la'ashirim. And you should do kindness also to the wealthy people. So just be giving. The rich people don't need your money. But the other people, just keep on giving. V'yachzir v'yitin. You repeat and you give. Ad she'tikve b'nafshi. Until it sets in your soul. Midas v'rav chesed. The measure of great kindness, which God has been praised with, Rav Chesed, that will be said by you doing lots of kindness. So this is just the means in reaching to that level that he changes around his nature. But once that nature has been set in your soul, this you become trained to do that, and then you gotta sort of take back a little bit. Then you gotta reverse, which means lo yifazer yisur medai. Then don't spread more than necessary. Shazu ein derech toiva. This is not a good way just to spread around all over. Just keep on trying. It's also not good. Elo, but rather b'tekonis chachamim. The Chum Institute, a person should not spend on tzedakah more than a fifth. That means 20%. That's what you give for, not more than 20%. And again, we're talking about people who are average people. Everything would depend upon the person's real, you know, life and his abilities. I mean, somebody who's a billionaire can give a lot more. Is not a, not, you know, everything is relative. But rather conduct yourself in the middle way. That is the good and straight path. No extremes. He brings down from the over here the sources that first you go to the extreme and then you sort of pull back and you go to the middle way. Then he says, and we learned a little before also, chutz mishiflus haruach. The exception for this is humility. Shema'oid ma'oid hevish shval ruach. Humility, it says, the Mishnah says, ma'oid ma'oid, very, very much, you must be humble of spirit. Ki to'aves Hashem kol gvar alev. For it's repugnant to Hashem any haughtiness of the heart, which is a verse in Mishlei, Simen Tes Zayin Pasuk Hey, chapter 16, verse 5.
What's the term horiness? What is they? Where does that refer to?
Arrogance?
Did you say horiness?
Horiness.
Yeah.
Gva lev. Gva lev little means high heart. You know.
Kavad?
Kavad is heavy heart. This is gva lev. High heart. Lachain yisrachik mizad kitzei achrein. So therefore a person should distance himself to the other extreme, to the last extreme. V'chol ha-magbiyah liboy. Anyone whose heart is hori, ki'ilu kafar be'ikar, is as if you were denying the main, you're denying God. Shenemar, because the verse says, this is a verse in Devarim, in the portion of Ekev, chapter 8, verse 14, Ches Yudalot, the pasuk says, V'ram levavcha v'shachachta es Hashem v'goymer. Once your heart will become hori, then you'll forget God. V'chol mi sheyesh biyodei gasus haruach, anyone who has by him in his hands, who is a arrogant of spirit, who ka'asheira, is considered like a asheira is a tree that is being worshipped.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like an asheira. Ve'ein afori ninar b'tchis ha'mesim, his sand will not be shaken off when the resurrection of the dead. I used to tell a little bit to Trump a little bit about this stuff here. V'chein ha'kas mida ro'a me'oid. Likewise, anger is a very bad trait. Very bad trait. U'megas ha'ruach ibo. It comes actually from arrogance of spirit. That's where anger comes from. L'chein yisrachik mizeh gamkin ad k'tzei achren. Therefore, he should distance himself also from this to the other extreme. V'afilu im tzorich liches alom lafrish midvar avedo lachzir lamutov. Even here, he's talking perhaps to a rabbi or to a community leader. He says, sometimes there are people that are doing things wrong, and you got to be angry, you got to yell at them, you got to tell them to stop what they're doing, right? So even if it's a situation that you need to be angry on the people in order to separate them, to stop them from doing a sin, a matter of sin, ulachzirim lemutav, and to bring them back to good. So it seems that you have to get angry, so the people should know that they should listen to you. It says, yare atzmei ki'ilu hukoyes. He should pretend, he should show himself as anger. That's what they tell you also sometimes with children, when you're educating them, and sometimes you got to show them maybe an angry face. So it's an anger that you're just displaying, you're showing them that you are not satisfied with what they're doing, that you are not happy, and they should know what they're doing isn't right. But in this case, v'tiyeh daitim yushavas alov bein lebein atzmei. But your own mind should be settled by yourself. You know, when you're angry, your anger shouldn't take it over so that you are really angry. You show them that you're angry, but you are really calm just to get them to change their ways. So you show them an anger, but you're not really angry. Anyone who gets angry, one who's angry is as if he would be worshipping the stars and the constellation, the mazolis, v'nishmosim mistalekes v'menu, his soul leaves him. Shenemar toydef nafshoi be'apoi, one who is toydef his soul be'apoi, with his anger. When he gets angry, he sort of takes his soul away. This is a verse in Iyev, Simen Yudches Dalet, which is chapter 18, verse 4. Lefikoch tzivu laharchik lisrachik menakas. Therefore, our sages instructed us to distance ourselves from anger. Until you conduct yourself, that you don't feel at all the people that get angry, you don't just pay attention. This is the path of the righteous. Aluvim ve'enem oilvim. They are shamed, but they don't shame back. They would hear their degradation, their shame, but the einam meshivim, they're not going to respond. Somebody insults you, don't insult them back. But they insult you, they don't respond. They hear, they people will degrade them, say something, embarrass, shame them, but they don't go ahead and shame back.
Right. We see this on the political.
These people do out of love. They don't do it for the people's recognition. They don't looking for the people getting them a pack in the back. And therefore, they're not going to be deterred by their insult or by their degrading comments. But they're going to do it out of love. Usmeichem b'yisurim. And they are happy with the pains that come on them. Because, as Miriam Adahan says, you know, every time that somebody does something, it's not she says, it's everything, something else, it's a test and it makes you a better person. So you're actually, you're happy with the pains that come on you because you look at them as a test from Hashem. Or maybe you think that that's going to wipe away some of the your own misconducts. Maybe you have to go through a little bit because you weren't sensitive to somebody else. So they're happy. So if you're not feeling so well or somebody has insulted you, accept it. They're happy that they were insulted in a way because they figure maybe this is a kapara. This is an atonement for something that they've done. Or as they use it as a stepping ground to go even higher in their service of Hashem. V'aleihem ha'kosuv oimer, the pasuk says about these people, v'oy havov, those who love God, is kitzeis hashemesh b'gvurosi, is just as the sun goes out with the strength. These are these great tzaddikim. And those tzaddikim is referencing those who don't give back. They hear their shame, they hear their insults, they don't return, they don't respond. They do out of love. They're happy with the Yisurim. This is a pasuk in Shoftim, Simon Hay, in the end of chapter 5 in the book of Shoftim. Now, he said like this, V'im hu talmud chacham, if the person is a sage, he's a scholar, v'chirfu,
dishing it out or receiving it? Saying the insult or receiving the insult, the scholar?
No, so they insulted him. Ubizuhu, echad mehom, and one of the people shamed him. Hu lo yoshiv al charpasi. He shouldn't respond to his shame, to his shaming. Today they have this thing, shaming. They put you on the social media. And they give you a shaming over that. And nevertheless, it's going to be for him a punish. He tells you not to answer, but the shame of the Torah. Because you're a scholar, and the guy shames you, so it's really a shame for the Torah that you're studying over there. So you're going to get punished because the Torah was shamed, but you can't still answer. So therefore, and if there will stand up somebody else to avenge the vengeance by fulfilling the law, and he's going to learn, you should be quiet, don't protest. Somebody else wants to stick up for you and wants to stop the guy who's doing that, you don't answer, don't stop him, let him take up the case. Because there's still a shame for the Torah. Let him take up, don't stop. With regards to this, it's written that Kol Ha'imer, Kol Talmud Chacham She'en Enoikim V'Noiter Kinochash Enoi Talmud Chacham. Over there it says in the Gemara in Yoima, it says that any sage, scholar, who is not vengeful, does not keep the, like a snake, keep the anger like a snake, the is not considered a Talmud Chacham. He's not a sage, he's not a scholar. Why? since his Torah isn't important in his eyes, and he doesn't care about his degradation. So that is referring to allowing somebody else to stick up for you. Still doesn't allow yourself to give back. Nevertheless, even though we said you got to be vengeful and you got to be strong like that, you got to show, if they appease you, you must appease immediately. For with this apology, the honor of the Torah has already been fixed. With regard to this, the rabbi said that anyone who goes over for his measures, in other words, he doesn't keep the grudge, he doesn't give back, he sort of forgives. It says, because he is going to forgive somebody who apologizes, he forgives. So it says that we forgive him all, we overgo all of his sins. This is only talking about physical pain, insult, something with the body, and that we say that you have Talmud Chacham needs to be care about his study of the Torah and not to allow other people to trample him. Aval bedavar shebemamen, but when it comes to a monetary situation, let's say somebody didn't give you loan you something, and then you say tomorrow, you say I'm not going to loan you because you don't loan me. That's called nekama. That is prohibited even by Talmud Chacham. Aval davar shebemamen, but a monetary thing. After Talmud Chacham, Osir Liter Belivai is not allowed to hold in his heart a grudge, and for sure, not to take revenge. You know, as the very famous, what's the difference between holding a grudge and paying back? So if a person comes to you and he says to you, oh, can I, you come to a person, you say, can I borrow your hammer? The guy says, no. The next day, he comes back to you and says, can I borrow your hammer? And you tell him, I'm not going to be like you that you didn't give me. Here's the hammer. That's called holding a grudge because you told him, not like you. So you're still. If you tell him, I'm not going to give you the hammer like you didn't give me, that's called revenge. That's called nekama. So you're not allowed to even hold it against him. You're not allowed to even keep the grudge. And of course, not to give back. I'm going to finish up just over here because I got to go. One who takes revenge of his friend or he keeps the grudge, he would be violating a prohibition. Because the portion of Kedoshim to you in Vayikra says over there, you shall not take revenge and you should not keep a grudge of the people of your people. So, I just said it. I said it ahead of them. Ezu nikima, what's called a revenge? Amar lo yashim leini kardumach. He says, borrow me your axe. I said, a hammer. A kardum. Lo yishilei. So he didn't borrow him. L'machar b'chaver etzlei. Then he comes to him and says, amar lei, hasheini maglach. Borrow me your sickle. I mean, he apparently, the example I gave wasn't a good example. I mean, he borrowed a hammer. Apparently, he has them. Another tool. He asked him, give me a maglach. The sickle. And he says to him, I'm not going to borrow you. You didn't borrow. You didn't. I asked you yesterday to loan me. You didn't give me the loan. I'm not going to loan it to you. Zehu nekima. That's called revenge. You're paying back. If he told him, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not like you, such an ingrate like you. Zuhi netira, that is considered keeping it. Erase it from your heart. Don't mention it. Enter your heart forever. Every person should speak out on this.